the Antiwhite system and tune in to the Pro-White system at RadioArian.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday, 27th of July, 2018. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at RadioArian.com. And we are welcoming back to the show a guest today who we've had on a couple of times before, I think. And she's on today because she wants to talk about the upcoming Southwest Forum, which we haven't yet mentioned here at RadioArian, but we will be doing so now because it's going to be taking place not this weekend, but next weekend. I'm very pleased to welcome Julie Lake to the show. Julie, how are you doing today?
I'm all right, Sven. Thank you for asking me.
You're welcome. Well, tell me about this Southwest Forum, because it's going to be a little bit different to the previous ones. I believe it's fundraiser.
Jez started this. Jez Turner started 2011. Usual format, you know, guest speakers, people with a lot of knowledge that induce debate. And Jez was getting some really good audience figures. And then we know what happened to him. He finds, you know, he lands up in prison for having an opinion. So the Southwest Forum, thankfully, was set up about 2 years, 2 years ago. And so, silencing Jez, we are still here in the Southwest, so we can hold our meetings. If people in London who would normally go to Jez's meetings want to come down to the Southwest, they're more than welcome at our meetings. And we will keep things ticking over for Jez until he comes out.
And I believe it's a fundraiser for him as well, isn't it?
Yes. It's just, I thought we're doing a fundraiser, like a Dutch auction, because when Jez appeared in court at the end of his trial, they described him as homeless, no fixed abode. And a thought that went through my head was, knowing Jez, if he was living in a shared house, he would do that. He put himself down as no fixed abode, so his housemates wouldn't be hassled. And that's what Jez is like. He would have thought of them. Or he's been very unlucky. So this fundraiser, I've asked everyone who's coming to donate something. It doesn't matter how small it is. And my contribution is a toilet roll with Donald Trump on every sheet. But we've had some amazing things put up for the auction. And what I'm going to do, once the running costs have come out, you know, the venue hire, etc., the rest will go to Jez. When he comes out of prison, there will be some money there for him. He can secure a lease or, you know, get back on his feet, and he'll have some money for personal expenses. I just feel with Jez, I mean, everybody knows he's the leading nationalist in this country. Everybody knows Jez Turner. But the difference with Jez, he has no rivalry. He'll help anyone. If you're just starting out, Jez will help you. And I just got to the point where I thought, of all these people he's helped, well, now we can do something for him. And it's had a good response. I'm really pleased with it.
Oh, I bet. I mean, that's something people forget about. I mean, we try to encourage everyone to write to all our prisoners of war, and we've got a link up there on the Radio Aryan site with a list of names. Please do write to them or email a prisoner. But then when these people come out, they've lost their jobs, they've often lost where they were living. I think Jez was prepared for actually being sent down. I think that's probably why he had no fixed abode, because he thought it was very likely he was going to be sent to prison. So he had it all timed in with actually leaving where he was living. So all of this is a good idea to raise money. I know that Mike Woodbridge is also raising money. He's got an organisation which is called The Link, and he's working with Max Musson from Western Spring, trying to provide funds to help the prisoners of war, the thought criminals, when they come out. I believe Max Musson is going to be speaking at the Southwest Forum, and you've got Lady Michelle Renouf, Ian Mellard, Dave Ballard, lots of really good names. So tell us about some of these names that you've got speaking there, Julie. How about you start with Lady Michelle Renouf?
Well, Lady Michelle Renouf, what can you say? She's like the, Princess Grace of nationalism, isn't she? You know, she's not only educated and highly intelligent, she's got the looks to go with it as well. And I'm so thrilled to have her. I'm so thrilled she accepted. And she's going to be talking about when she went out and gave her speech in Dresden, how she was treated, etc. And I think there's another trial on at the moment. Is it Monica Schaefer?
Yeah, the Schaefer trial. I think she's a correspondent for the Barnes Review. So she's over there reporting on that. I know that she's helped out Bishop Williamson in the past and lots of other revisionists. And I believe she did an interview with, I think it was Radio 4. I heard that the other day. I thought that was very good when she was actually debating it. Did you hear that?
Yes. Was that the one where they actually let them debate the Holocaust?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Very good.
Well, that was a step in the right direction, wasn't it? I mean, I've got a quote from Michelle Renouf. I loved it. She said, the issue is not the Holocaust per se. It's about debating the Holocaust. You're not allowed to debate or question it. So she's going to come down on Saturday. She's going to be speaking, and she's going to, I know she's going to be wonderful, and there's so many people down right across the Southwest that are so looking forward to meeting her and hearing her speech. We should have a good turnout.
Well, who else have you got there as well then? Because you've got a few other speakers as well, haven't you?
Yeah, we've got Paul Ballard.
Now, I haven't heard of him before. Tell me about Paul Ballard.
Well, Paul Ballard, he goes back away, and he... Do you remember a court case with Nick Griffin? Two of them.
Was that with Mark Collett as well? There was one case,
no,
wasn't there?
It was before the Mark Collett one.
Right.
I think, if my memory serves me correct, it was about 2004. And it was Nick Griffin and Paul Ballard on trial. But Paul Ballard, he was quite courageous because he just pled guilty. Griffin stood there arguing. But they both got suspended sentences for a magazine that Nick and Paul were publishing at the time called The Rune. Do you remember that?
I've heard of it. What were they saying in the specific article? What was it about?
Well, basically, Jews. Rather insulting comments to Jews. And yet they had them up in court. And again, that was an opinion. That was their opinions. And they published this Rune magazine. I think it came out once a month. And it was a great magazine, highbrow, very interesting things in there. And there was something in there, some silly paragraph. And the next thing you know, they've got a complaint. They got a complaint, and then the two of them are up in court. So I don't know if Nick Griffin remember that, when they both got suspended sentences. So he's going to be talking a bit about the race laws and how they've changed. And he's going to be talking about all these new tactics being put in to take nationalists out of circulation. So he's going to update us on some of our political prisoners in England, and explain how they got there, how they got into prison, and what's been happening behind the scenes, because most people only get to see what's in a newspaper.
Yeah, there's a lot more that's actually going on that we don't hear about, that only the people that are going to these trials are finding out about. I mean, one of the ways that they've tried to change these laws is with this grossly offensive that they used for Alison Chablot. I mean, that's a new tactic, isn't it? I think a while back they brought it in that every company in Britain has to promote diversity. Therefore, if you are of the opinion that you don't like immigration, you don't like your countrymen being replaced, then you are against diversity. Therefore, the company can sack you. And these really odious laws that the general public aren't aware of what these laws have actually forced upon the country. This is why people are being, you know, they're losing their jobs. Just for speaking out and having a different political view, is because everyone has got to be promoting diversity and inclusion. That's the way they put it. And of course, including foreigners means that you are excluding the people that live here, the indigenous people. We're the ones that are really being excluded. So you've also
I remember 2016. It was just after Sadiq Khan was voted Mayor of London. I remember thinking, well, that's going to be an asshole, isn't it, in 5 years' time. But he'd just been elected, and Theresa May had just proposed the changes to the hate laws and all the clauses in them. And myself and Max Musson, we looked at them, and they were so blatantly obvious, aimed at nationalists. Because we didn't need extra hate laws. With Islamic preachers, our existing hate laws covered them adequately. We got rid of Abu Hanza, Abu Qatada, we got Chowdhury in prison. So the hate laws work. And when they brought in this great big, you know, pile of clauses that you could be prosecuted for example, I won't go through them all, there's one, no demonstrations outside a place of worship. So next time you want to protest over that mosque, do you see what I mean? And they thought out these laws very, very clever. And they are not there for Islamic preachers. They are there for us. And I don't want to be smug, but I did say on Kyle Hunt's show, if nationalists in Britain don't take notice of these changes to the hate laws, they'll get shut down. They'll find a way that you have broken the law somewhere and we can, you know, shut you down. And it's all very well when you've got nationalists that are very defiant and they say, oh, I don't care. I don't care. I'm going to speak my mind. I'm going to do this. I don't care what Theresa May says. That's all well and good until you wake up the next morning and find you've got no website because they've shut it down. And you can go to prison for 10 years if you're seen as much as delivering a leaflet, you know.
Well, it's worse than that, isn't it? I mean, they will treat you like terrorists. They'll turn up at 5 in the morning with armed police and accuse you of being a terrorist. Just for putting stickers up. You've also got this non-violent extremism thing. I mean, what is non-violent extremism? It's just having a different opinion to the establishment that makes you a non-violent extremist. But what about Ian Millard? You've got Ian Millard there as well. What's he going to be talking about? Why is he important?
This is a fascinating one. He's going to also be talking about his personal experience. He was a barrister and studied law at the highest level. He was a barrister, and people like him are a bonus to our movement, because you can imagine how useful a barrister, nationalist barrister, is going to be. And on Twitter, last year, he just wrote a tweet, something about, I agree with Hitler when he said this. That was it. He was disbarred. He cannot preach. He cannot practice law in Britain anymore. And he lost everything. He lost his job, everything. But he spent years to qualify as a barrister, and they stripped him of his income and his title because he happened to have an opinion on Hitler. This is paranoia stuff, isn't it?
Totally, totally. I imagine his speech will be particularly interesting. I know he's spoken at the London Forum before, but then, of course, the London Forum, all the speeches from there got taken down by YouTube. We do, yes. we have a backup, actually, at...
Nationalist.
We have a backup at arianbootlegs.wordpress.com. There's about 50 speeches from the London Forum on there, but it's just the audio.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it's just the audio, it's still better than nothing. Well, tell us about who else have we got there? We've got Max Masson, have we got someone else as well as Max?
Max Masson, he's going to be doing, I think it's the fifth prerequisite to Western Spring. He's going through that very briefly, and because what we want to do as well is give each speaker enough time for people to put questions, if they want to ask them questions at the end of their speech. So extra 10, 15 minutes. Max has told me he'll keep it short this time because we've got the auction. We're going to be doing the auction for an hour, 2 hours. So I think it's an excellent lineup. You know, Michelle, Paul, Ian and Max.
Is there someone else that's going to be speaking there? I think you said there was going to be somebody else, didn't you, earlier?
Yes. Now, she doesn't want her name broadcasted. We can quite understand that, can't we? And it's because, you know, there's good jobs involved. So I won't put her name out. But, yes, a young lady, she's going to come along with Paul, and she's going to update us on all of our political prisoners. And I'm sorry, I have had a brain freeze today, but do you remember when we were in the second venue in Bristol with Michael Woodbridge and he read that letter out? Yeah. I can't for the life of me remember his name. But she's got information on him and she's going to come along and she's going to update us all on, you know, the ones we got in prison. Which is great, because that lets them know that we haven't forgotten them.
Definitely, definitely. We had Ben Raymond on the other week to talk about some of these people that were accused of being members of National Action. And, of course, Jack Renshaw wasn't found guilty of being a member of National Action. And
no.
You've been accused of... having something to do with terrorists on British television because you were writing to Jack Renshaw. So what's been happening with that, Julie? That was hard cash promotions, wasn't it? They were accusing you of this.
The director is a David Henshaw, and he got his lawyer on to me. I think they're used to these quiet little women who just wouldn't say boo to a goose. They didn't expect anyone to come back and argue with them all night. So he got his lawyer, which is ITV's lawyer, Mark Sunderland. And the emails were a little bit, they didn't intimidate me, but I think they were meant to. They wrote, believe me, if you launch a case against us, we will robustly pursue it. You know, sorry, you don't frighten me. But you're absolutely right, Seth. In that programme, they said, the voiceover said, Julie Late talks about a letter she's received from a member of National Action and has been corresponding with him from his cell. I couldn't say anything. I couldn't say anything at the time, sub judice and all that. But we were waiting on Jack Renshaw's conviction. If he had been convicted for being a member of National Action, okay, it would have been better for the jury to find him not guilty. But even the fact that they were undecided, they couldn't come to a conclusion, is good enough for me, because they put me on television saying, I support National Action. So now a court of law has ruled, either one way or the other, Jack can't be proved, if he is or he isn't. That is not what they put in that program. And it's slander, isn't it, what they put in that? So we were waiting on Jack Renshaw's conviction. And as I said, we were hoping it was going to be not guilty. But even so, unproven, that's good. That is still good. So back to the solicitor to see if we're going to prepare a case.
Well, it also, I would say, it prejudiced the jury as well, putting out a programme like that on prime time and convicting somebody of being a member of National Action before the trial has taken place. That is going to prejudice any members of the jury who watched that programme, besides also linking you with a prescribed terrorist organisation when all you were doing was writing to a nationalist that was in prison, which is not illegal to write to these people that are in prison.
The thing is as well, I wrote to Jack because, for one, when my husband died last year, he did send me some very nice kind words about my husband. So I wrote to him to say thank you for your kind words, but also, which is probably going to sound strange coming from me, you know what I mean with Jack, he's very small and he did look very young. And we know what happens to small, pretty boys in prisons. And I was worried about him. And at the time he went inside, they transferred him to Belmarsh. And I was horrified because that's a terrorist prison. At that moment in time, I didn't know what Jack had been accused of. It was all sub judice. But at the moment in time when I wrote to him, it was just a friendly, look, do you want me to send you some shampoo or something? Because my way of thinking is hopefully not, but sometimes in those cases, the family turns against you. And I just thought, has he got someone, has he got someone that, could be there for him? And then, as I said, we had to make our decision based on what evidence was produced in that court. And this is, again, with this hard cash promotion. They summarised that Jack Renshaw had to be guilty because, they accused him of being a member of National Action. And this was exactly the same as, I think it was 2006, Nick Griffin and Mark Collett, both arrested and prosecuted for inciting racial hatred in Keighley, which is just outside Bradford. And they went to trial, as you probably know. But the tabloids back then, they've tightened up on it a bit now. But back then, the things that were being written about the pair, being discussed on TV and radio, Nick Griffin had to be guilty. And if you said, well, why does he have to be guilty? Well, it's Nick Griffin. He's got to be guilty. It's Nick Griffin. Yeah, and this is all prejudice that is coming out before evidence is heard in court. That's contempt to court. The other thing with this hard cash promotions, as you saw of their little film, they got Hope Not Hate, Nick Lowles and Matthew Collins down there to give their opinion on us nasty people. And on that program, according to Matthew Collins, he said, Julie Lake mixes with some of the most dangerous neo-Nazis in the country. And I'm thinking, where did you get that from? Who has fed you that pile of rubbish? And when the letters were going back and forwards between me and their production company, I got a snotty one back from the lawyer, and he said, well, you mix with violent people. And I just wrote back and I said, prove it. You prove it. So we were waiting on Jack's conviction to see where we went from there. But the thing I was saying about Nick Griffin in 2006, when it went to trial, all the tabloids were reporting on it. And I think everyone in the country said, he's got to be guilty because he's Nick Griffin. There's no question he's not guilty. And when he was acquitted, I mean, they didn't just have egg on the face. They had omelette. You know, you imagine they gave them all the bad write-ups, good riddance, rot in prison for 2 years. Oh, hang on, he's been acquitted. Blimey, we weren't expecting that.
Was that to do with the Muslim rape gangs, the grooming gangs that they were exposing at the time? I don't believe he's ever had an apology for that, and yet everything that him and Mark were trying to warn the country about has been proved true, hasn't it?
Yes. Somebody once said to me about Nick Griffin, whenever you think about Nick Griffin, think Frank Carson. And I said to this person, what on earth are you talking about? Well, Frank Carson was an Irish stand-up comedian, and he had this catchphrase, it's the way I'll tell him. And this person said to me, if somebody like Nigel Farage even said what Nick Griffin said, there would have been no court case. It's just that Nick Griffin has got, you know, he comes across as brusque and, you know, and because it's Nick Griffin, then he's got to be this terrible person who should be sent to prison. But I remember half the country absolutely stunned when he was acquitted because in their mind, they'd already tried him and hung him.
And, he certainly put up with a lot.
Why they keep doing this.
He certainly put up with a lot. I mean, you know, whatever people say about him, I mean, he must have some courage to have stood up and, you know, take all those attacks and arrows that were being fired at him. You know, I mean, he must have had a lot of threats and, you know, took a great risk doing what he was doing. You know, we can't take that away from him. We're nearing the end of the podcast, really, Julie. So what we should really do is, let people know how they can get to this, how they can find out about it, what day it is, all that sort of thing, what the requirements are for entry.
So, if anybody is thinking of coming to the Southwest Forum, it's Saturday in Bristol, 4th of August. It's a 1 p.m. Start, and please be prompt. And of course, everyone will understand, I cannot give you the venue. We just tightening up on the security.
And if people want to go, what do? Do they email you? Do they have to have referees? What sort of thing? How can people get there?
If anybody who would like more information and about going on Saturday the 4th, you can email me at julielake1, as in number one, at btinternet.com. If they'd like to email me, I shall respond fairly quickly. And hopefully we'll have a really good audience for Jez.
And they need to email you first so we can find out who they are.
Yes.
So yes, they need to have a referee, really. So they need to have somebody that knows them, yeah?
Yes. I'm looking forward to it.
And you got plenty of security, yeah?
Yes, yes. Whether it'll be needed or not, I hope not. I hope that we can just, you know, have a nice day doing something for a guy who's sitting in the cell right now and a guy who's done so much for other people. You
okay.
know, Jez, say it, because people can say what they like about Jez. Oh, he's racist, Nazis. He's a very kind person, you know that. And he would help anyone. And I just think it's about time we did something for him.
Okay, definitely. So what people need to do is drop you an email if they want to go. Also have some way that we can check them out, somebody that we already know, someone that already goes to the forum that knows them. If they do turn up, they need to be turning up on their own, not bringing people with them that we have no idea who they are. So
yeah.
The best thing to do is to drop you an email, or if people know me and want to come along, that they can get in touch
yeah.
with me, and I'll put them in touch with you, Julie. Okay, well,
yeah.
Thank you very much for coming on today. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back on Monday with Eddie Morrison. God bless and hail victory.